Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I am joined with Kathy Fuller Seeley. Hello, Kathy. We are also joined with John Henderson. Hey, John.
Hello.
John's in his Christmas attire because we're recording this at Christmas time. I'm not sure when this comes out to you. Shall see this. Actually, no. This may come out at Christmas time, but for you, it may be Christmas time 2024. But anyway, because now that I think about it, we have the second episode of the sixth season of the Jack Benny Show. Am I right with that, Kathy? Yeah. And are currently presenting in this timeline as we're recording this, we're presenting sort of the fifth season, and we've got a long way to go. I think we're in the third episode or something. And so there's a whole bunch of episodes we've already recorded that are going to be coming out. But we're interrupted from that by being it's Christmas time. And so we're going to play a bunch of Christmas episodes. So this is way down the line that you'll see this, but that's okay. It's probably spring, and I hope you're enjoying the wonderful warm weather and having a good spring. Maybe Easter time or something, this will come out, maybe not. Anyway, this episode is a filmed episode. The last one we had was live. We were talking about how the difference between filmed and live is interesting. This filmed episode is one of them that is in the syndication package that you might catch if you're watching it on Antenna TV or wherever it's airing now, on whatever station the Jack Benny Show reruns are on. I did not realize before we started doing these just how early some of these filmed episodes were that were in the syndication package. This isn't even the first one. We have some from the previous season, season 5 of Jack Benny's Show, that are in the syndication package. But I think it's great that they grabbed so many of the early episodes, because in these early ones, we get a lot more Dennis going on, and there's just, we have a better chance of Mary showing up and things than you do in the other ones and so forth. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about this one and what's going on here and what we liked about it. We'll start off with John. John, what were your thoughts on this one?
I loved this episode. I thought it was great. I would say if I was making a collection, this would make my top 5 episodes. Not necessarily that it's the most laugh out loud funny, although I did laugh, you know, really enjoyed it. I did think it was funny, but the picture quality is superb.
Yeah.
And the pacing, like this is like I Love Lucy level, where it's like, this is something you can show, you know, to your family, even if they're not necessarily like, you know, hard Jack Benny fans, even if they've never even heard of Jack Benny. This is one that I feel like is accessible and fun and surprising and funny. And for those who are like fans of the radio show or fans of Jack Benny, there's also payoff for that as well. So I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
I would agree with that, John. And I'd say that assuming that they've actually paid attention when they were creating the syndication package, this one would stand out and you go, oh yeah, we have to include this one. Because what's interesting, and I think this is the case very often, especially with us, you know, like sometimes I think I should bring somebody in this group who's not a big Jack Benny fan to see what their thoughts on what episodes are funny and what episodes aren't. Because we sort of have a group think on these episodes that don't have like a big name guest star or something, right? If he's got a big name guest star, our chances are we're probably not going to like it quite as much as when it's just the main cast that we're seeing. We love to spend time with Frank Nelson. We love to spend time with Mel Blanc, and we get both of those folks in this episode, and that's wonderful, and I love that. The episode just works. I mean, it's like the radio show sometimes, where it's broken and there's multiple parts sort of to the thing. And because if you look at it and you go, okay, if you took the massage part of it and made that into a whole episode, it would be pushing it. If you took the end part at the restaurant and made that the whole episode, that'd be pushing it. But by having both pieces in this, it just makes the whole thing fun, and it keeps it fresh enough and moving that you like it. Also, and this might just be me, when they were going down the stairs to enter the club, in my mind, I couldn't get out the thought that, oh, they're going to go see Phil Harris performing down there. Because in the radio show, when they meet Phil Harris for the first time, supposedly, they go down, the big thing is they go down this long stairway underground to have to go see him and see his act. And it just, I don't know, just somehow visually that presented what my mind kind of went, jumped to, oh, are we going to see Phil Harris? Like, no, we're not going to see Phil Harris, but it's just, it's funny where your brain goes with these things.
Well, it's a great radio gag because, yeah. You know, like on radio, your imagination, you know, it fills in things and pictures things and it stretches, you know, believability in a way that's fun. And this stairway gag does the same thing where you just see that establishing shot and then you hear the outrageously long sound effects of going downstairs. I thought that was great.
Yes, I love that. And I love that I love it. It doesn't always work to take things that are from the radio show and bring them into the television show, but I still love them to try. And when they do work, like this does work pretty well. Mm-hmm. It's neat and it's worth a try, right? And so they try. I mean, and then things like the vault doesn't transfer that well. But I'm glad they attempted it and saw what they could do with it, right? Anyway, let's go over to Kathy and see what her thoughts were on this.
Well, I completely agree with you all, and I've never seen this one before. Yeah. And it's fascinating to show, I mean, the choreography of the French restaurant is incredible. Yeah. And yet to pair that with the first sketch that's all about Jack, singular, his body, is a great pairing, just as you say, putting the two together. Is kind of fascinating. I was struck in the first half by when we saw Jack beat Gracie Benny, he had a fair amount of chest hair, and I was wondering, where's Jack's chest hair? Did he actually shave himself? He's just there in his skivvies. I was impressed that he was willing to strip down to that extent. To be the, you know, and he's, for a guy of his age, he's in really quite good shape. So, so as I said, I was looking for furry Jack Benny, and he wasn't furry, so I was a little amused at that. The Frank Nelson as the masseuse episode was, of course, drawn from a pretty famous, well-known radio episode where they sang Deep in the Heart of Texas, and I wanted them to do the whole thing. He slapped in different parts and didn't, because it was actually part of a Lucky's commercial when they did it on the radio, and Jack was then going, ba-ba-ba-ba, and Jack would go, ow, stop, you're hurting me, Mr. Nelson, and so they kind of did it, but it didn't. So I love the callback to that earlier one, although I thought they cut this one a little bit short.
But that is a great example, Kathy, of how for us, the fans that are from our radio fans, how these episodes have a different, they just hit differently. They're going to. Yeah. I mean, like in that case, and in many cases, you're like, you're titillated that it's like, oh, they're bringing this thing back from the radio. That's so cool. And yet almost always you're kind of a little let down too, because they can never quite, your mind pictures it on the radio show better than they can possibly present it in reality visually to you. And so we both get an excitement when they bring something from the radio show, but then also maybe sometimes a little bit of a letdown, like you're saying, that somebody watching it who's never heard the radio show and their only reference is the television show and TV show of the time, right, would totally have a different feel for this than we would. I think this particular episode would work very, very well for folks that never ever heard of the Jack Benny show, never ever heard any of the radio shows at all or anything like that. But it also works for us as fans, so it's just kind of cool.
Yeah. In thinking about it, I'm just incredibly impressed again with the choreography, with the visual slapstick and the timing of that crowded little French bistro. Just really, and the fact that Mel was there playing the maitre d', head waiter, owner of the restaurant, when I expected him with a French accent, of course, be a Professor LeBlanc.
Yes.
So I love that he's a slightly different character. I've learned that this show had been filmed the summer of June 24th, 55, on the CBS stages. Mm-hmm. So they had the time they could not have pulled that thing off live. It was too many, although we have seen Jack do some amazing things, like when he's with the marching band. So we have seen Jack pull off very ambitious visual slapstick, routines and gags.
Yes.
So the fact that they could make this work, that it was so frenetically paced and so in such a small space was just delightful.
Yeah, what they do, both with the film shows and with the live shows on the Jack Benny Show, especially in these early seasons, is just amazing. They're pushing the envelope of what you could possibly present or do, even more than like I Love Lucy, because so much of I Love Lucy takes place in that apartment, and they get out every once in a while, but a huge amount of it is in the apartment. Whereas Jack shows are always kind of out and about in new locations all the time and new things that they're doing. I mean, new sets and
right. And so I think that's what kept elevating his shows to almost special, like, because it didn't fall into a standard variety or a standard sitcom format. I really appreciate seeing more of these TV episodes, how they tried to switch it up all the time. He often mentioned that in interviews at the time. He said, we always want to keep you guessing. We don't want to fall into routines. And that's kind of what the sitcom in its last years.
And that's what I think we're going to benefit from, and our audience is going to benefit from, with trying to watch these shows as close to chronologically as we can. Because then you do see, oh my goodness, he had a live show and then he had a film show. Oh, and then he did this one. And then he did, just the variety of shows he presents, like you say, where you would get the idea if you were a person back at the time watching television, you go, oh, Jack's got a new show on this week. I haven't seen him in 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever it was at the time. And so it made it seem more special. And then when you turn it on, you are going to get something different. You're not getting the same thing over and over again. It is a broad variety. And the whole concept that they probably didn't realize what's going on at the time between live and filmed, but that they were also getting that dichotomy going as well. And it would just seem like probably a very interesting, strange feeling to have watching a show, whereas Lucy's show always looked essentially the same. With Jack's show, you'd go, oh, this one's clearer and everything. This one's not, because of course they couldn't present live didn't look as clear as the filmed episodes. And then the fact that in the filmed episodes, I don't think they're filmed in front of a live studio audience.
No, this was definitely canned laughter in this one. So.
But this time the canned laughter didn't get in your way of your enjoyment, which it sometimes does. They seem to have worked out the kinks of that a little bit more than our early filmed episodes, where the timing and the laughter didn't seem to match that well. Certainly, it's like when you watch like a Disney Channel show, right? Yeah. That's filmed, and you get these where somebody throws off a little one-liner that's not a very good joke. It's bad. And the audience just starts cracking up and makes it sound like it's just hilarious. And you're going, okay, this laughter. And every time, almost everything's a punchline, 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 punchline. So punchline, huge laugh, punchline, huge laugh, punchline, huge laugh. And it just kind of wears you down. Whereas if you do it right, you're going to have the little titillations of laughter when there's something that's kind of funny said, and then when there's something more funny, Mel does something, then you go more over the top. They do that sensitively in this episode, and I think they get that right in these filmed episodes from here on pretty much. But John, what you were gonna say something.
I was just gonna add to what you were saying about how this there's not a tendency to be formulaic in the Jack Benny show, and even some other radio shows can be a little more formulaic, but the idea of Jack Benny's show being, you know, sort of that in between of, we are doing a show, this is a live show, it's happening now, and the sort of sitcom elements where they're out and doing other things, mm-hmm. you know, they've got so many more options and they can switch back and forth. They can start with a monologue and then go to a, yeah. to a scene. So
yeah.
It's much less.
I don't hardly any current, you know, any other show in the past 50 years has been able to pull it off, right. you know, quite that well. I think the variety really helped him maintain his career for longer.
I think so too. I think, originally, I sort of thought of the television shows as a huge step down from the radio shows. I don't really think about that. I think that anymore. I think there's kind of a step across or something. They're different. And yet that flexibility that he had in the radio shows is one of the few things. He didn't bring everything across from radio, but one of the things he brought across was the flexibility and the ability to have shows that happen at his home, shows that happen like at the studio where they actually are like, yeah, this is, we are at a studio, we're a show. So you get the show within a show thing going on. In this case, what you don't get in a decent amount of the film shows, you get them in some, but you have him in front of the curtain at the beginning of the episode doing a monologue piece that you often don't get in the filmed one. So it's kind of neat that they bring that through. And John was talking on our last episode, so I'm going to bring up what he was talking about, and we can see if this is the case in this one or not. But just how so many of the filmed episodes are taken from a live episode. In this case, is there a live episode that corresponds to this, or is this the original of this episode? Do you know? Anybody?
I think it's original. I don't have the book. Maybe Kathy knows.
Laura suggests that a radio episode of April 1945. So I'll go dive for the
No, it's definitely based on radio episodes. No, I get that.
I mean, that would be the slap part, but I think the French Restaurant is a new addition. And I will give a shout out to the Sportsman Quartet showing up in their Maurice Chevalier outfits.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that they were able to, that the editors were able to save the song and snip out the commercial instead of the other times where, with a heavy hand, they take the whole bit out, because it's wonderful to see this.
Yes, and to think that this is the syndicated show, and this is the syndicated version that we watched, so it has the Sportsman in it. So seldom does that happen. Like you say, it gets cut out, especially in the syndication package. And so it just helps my heart to go, okay, every once in a while, there are the Sportsmen in some of these Jack Benny shows that survive into the syndication package. So people today are seeing the Sportsmen every once in a while. I doubt it's a lot. My guess off the top of my head would be maybe a half a dozen shows that survive that have the Sportsman on them. We've definitely seen other ones. We've seen at least one other one where the Sportsman part is still, I want to say intact, but it's intact, but edited where they, like you say, they cut out the part that refers to the commercial part and they keep the part that's the spoof on the song. But I just think seeing them is wonderful. That's what, There's a lot of elements that take this episode and push it up a notch. You go, oh, it has Jack doing a monologue bit for a filmed episode. That's a little unique. Oh, it's got Frank Nelson, tick up. It's got Mel Blanc doing a wonderful bit, a tick up. It's got the Sportsman, another notch. So I watch these, I don't know if John watches them or not, but I watch these episodes they review Star Trek, and they're called ups and downs. And so they'll say, well, there's an up, and then, oh, this scene didn't work that well, there's a down. And then you'll have ups and downs compared back and forth. I want to say and I don't think John's seen it, but I will just say this, because whenever I can talk Star Trek, I love to talk Star Trek. But they had a musical episode this year that kind of reminds me, kind of the whole Strange New Worlds. This is going to be very strange for all you folks out there, but you got to be a deep Star Trek fan and a deep Benny fan to get this. But the Strange New Worlds, the way it approaches television and the way it approaches story writing, to me, reaches all the way back to the Jack Benny shows that we're talking about, where you didn't know where you're going to get from week to week, and there was just different, they go completely different directions. One of the things they did this year on Star Trek was they, on Strange New Worlds, is they had a musical episode. And the musical episode, I believe that's the one, I think it is, where the ups and downs, usually, you know, there's 30 ups and 10 downs for an episode or something, right? This one, I think there were no downs. There were,
wow.
I was going, how high are they going to go? Because they went past 30, and I was like, my goodness. And they were barely into the episode. And then they hit 50, and then it was 80. I think they got close to 100 ups with no downs about that episode. It was so well done. And that reminds me of this episode, because there's so many ups and there's no down. You just are like, oh man, one good thing after another. So I love
Star Trek, but for me, if there's a musical, it's an automatically all the way down. There's a season of the, I've been watching The Honeymooners.
I will say, John, though, hang on for just a second, though. I'll interrupt you on that. Okay. My friends that I review the episode with, both before they watched the episode, completely in your camp. I think what you said was almost verbatim what they said the week before. They watched it. They both enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite Star Trek episodes of all time. So it's phenomenal, and because all the songs have to do with character development and actually get you a further knowledge of inside that character, and I thought that was brilliant the way they did. Anyway, back to you, John.
I was just gonna say, I've been watching The Honeymooners, and after they finish their film, you know, series, they mm-hmm. go back to live,
yes,
and they do all musical episodes. And I was just like, oh, I can't sit through all this music. why are Ralph and Alice singing? I don't get it. Anyway.
So it didn't work at all.
One thing you missed, Buck, when you talked about all the ups, though, is Gertrude and Mabel, the telephone yes. operators from the radio show. And of course, Gertrude is played by Bea Benaderet, who my family has actually been watching the first Color season of Petticoat Junction, because it's a crossover with Green Acres, which they've been watching, yeah. And she's the basically the lead, the glue in that mm-hmm. in that show. So it's fun to watch her here, you know, however many years earlier, where she's younger and playing this character that I'm familiar with from the radio show, and I think she carries the episode really well, and it totally is in line with like what we know about, you know, Jack and Gertrude, because they often reference how he'll take her on a date or something, and then she'll make a comment about Jack that, of course, is like all the jokes in the Jack Benny show, and just yep. very funny. So I loved that, seeing her, and
I love that,
and she
too.
Even does a Betty Rubble laugh at one point.
Well, yep. That's what I was going to say, is you have Betty Rubble in the restaurant with Barney. Who's playing the waiter, of course, and Mel Blanc is the voice of Barney, and so that's just too cool to have them together years before they would become husband and wife on the Flintstones.
But the great thing about what the writers did for Bee's Gertrude, because she's such a small petite woman, to have her be, it was so interesting to have them at play up, oh, that she's masculine and Jack's gonna put his head on her shoulder mm-hmm. and she's driving and she's gonna get them into the restaurant. I'm glad they didn't go as far as trying to have her manhandle anybody in the restaurant. But there's some Easter eggs if you listen in the restaurant scene to what Jack is actually whispering or trying to talk to Gertrude about. If you go back and listen, he's trying to say, oh, you mean so much to me. I've always wanted to tell you about that. And so it's some of the most sort of touching, romantic things you'll ever hear the Jack Benny character say to anybody that's not the sexual overtones of Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
So oh, it's... So
without the creepiness, yeah.
Yeah. So the Easter eggs are cute in this.
Well, if you're... Oh, here's what you might call an Easter egg. If you're a big fan of the radio show, you know who Frankie Rembley is, who is the guitar player. And they reference him in this episode in a hilarious joke about his hands being burned. I thought that was very funny.
Yes.
And there's also a really quick reference. You know, I always like to find the references for the jokes that we wouldn't necessarily get these days. And there's a really quick reference to the perfume called My Sin. So listen for that also.
Yep.
And also a shout out to Jack's cousin, Sudi, when the fan letter that he reads at the opening of the show is from Sudi Gordon. And that's one of Jack's cousins in Waukegan. So,
interesting. Okay.
So I love those little, you know, those little Easter eggs for his family. So
now, it sounds like this was Kathy's first time seeing this. John, had you seen this before?
No, I had never seen it. This is my first time also.
This was my first time seeing it as well. So for all three of us, we got to experience a new Jack Benny show we'd never seen before, which is a rarity that you hit one that none of us have seen. And one that it sounds like, from what everybody's saying, I mean, I off the top of my head, now I'd have to look at the episodes and everything, but it feels like it might be in my top five of all the Jack Benny episodes. Certainly it's got to be in my top 10, I feel like. But it's one of those where you have to kind of lay out the episodes, and it might become six or seven, because you start going, oh, well, the Christmas episodes, that's got to be like number one maybe. And the train episode is like really high. And then
we've got 250.
I know, right? So I'm just saying, it's hard to break in that top 10 or top five for us to be thinking that maybe this does. It shows what a spectacular episode this is of the Jack Benny Show. So good job, Jack. Good job, team, for coming up with this episode. The writers were right on point. And boy, this is one of those where it's just magical the way it all falls together. Loved it, loved it. And the title, I certainly have recorded this obviously at some point. It's just, I think the title threw me, of just saying it's called like The Masseuse and Date with Gertrude or something. And so I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound like a very interesting episode. Certainly the title, just it's not like Christmas shopping where you go, oh my goodness, or Easter episode or something. But just phenomenal for an episode without any huge guest stars or anything like that, just with the real cast. And like you say, for the radio fans to get and to see the operators and things and playing different parts, it's just delightful. So anyway, good one. So anything else we need to throw out there on this one that we haven't covered or anything? We good?
The boy is a young Harry Shearer, I'll just
say. Yeah.
And we're still wondering why he has a briefcase, but we'll leave that alone. So that he can be a junior writer.
That's right. He's supposed to be a writer. So that's a fun little bit. And it's fun to see him in that we couldn't find his just recently. Now, for you guys, of course, time for us and time for you is this total mixed up thing. But anyway, we just last week recorded the episode where Jack is casting for his special, right? A show about himself, right? So for his biography sort of thing. And it had Harold Shearer supposedly in it. He was in the live version. As far as we can see, the live version exists in some libraries somewhere and so forth, but nothing that we humans can get to. So we've only seen the filmed version, so that doesn't have Harry Shearer in it. That has Barry Gordon in it.
But the fact that the old fan from Waukegan, that the old autograph seeker is from Waukegan, and yet the fact that they didn't say, are you Mildred Holmquist, or, you know, darn. Yeah. Easter eggs that could have happened.
Yes. And that's what we're thinking. This kind of shows us what Harry Shearer would look like at the rough time of that last episode we played of the talent show one. And he looks about the right age to pull it off and everything, which is great. And it would have been nice to see him be able to do more. This scene is very short.
I would have liked him to see him do this. Excellent.
Yeah. Now that would be the ultimate Easter egg, right? A future Easter egg. Yeah. Well, and that's interesting that I wonder how many characters he's played. If he's played any pieces of any Jack Benny type characters. I mean, I know they've had Frank Nelson type character on there. I don't think he's done it though. The one who says yes and the whole thing on The Simpsons. but it would seem like they would tap him to do some of those other ones too, but they didn't. So anyway, that's a great time for us to sign off. And I see my kids coming here and knocking on my door to come in to get Christmas trees. And so I need to go be off with that. So everybody enjoy your Christmas time, though this is coming out way later than Christmas. And we will see you folks next time.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here I am doing another TV show. And you know, this time, I really had a surprise for you. Matter of fact, this afternoon, I decided to get a crew haircut, and I finally got one. And wouldn't you know, I left it on the bus. So, if any of you are riding home on the bus tonight and you see a driver with a crew haircut, you'll know it belongs to me. All right, you laughed. I told the joke. You laughed. My riders are happy. But I'd like to have one thing cleared up once and for all. I do not wear a toupee. I mean, this is my own hair. When I say my own, I don't mean it's paid for. I mean, it's really grown. Well, getting on with the show, you know, I got a fan letter yesterday from a lady in, and I want to read this to you. Of course, I really don't need these glasses, you know. I just wear them to keep my contact lenses from falling out. Of course, my contact lenses are pretty thick. In fact, the other day I left them in the kitchen, and Rochester used one of them for a percolator cap. Well, anyway, this letter, it says from a fan, says, "Dear Mr. Benny, I've been a fan of yours for years. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed your programs, but I've often wondered, after one of your shows is over, what do you do to relax? Please write and tell me. Yours very sincerely." It's funny, I can't read the signature. Mrs. Sudie Gordon. Well, what she probably means is that, you know, she knows that we work hard on a show and rehearsals, and what do we do for relaxation, naturally, after a show? So, well, we do one of many things. We might go to a movie or go to a ball game or go bowling or, well, let me take you back and show you exactly what I did after my last TV show. Just stick around.
Come in!
Rochester, where's Mr. Benny?
He's still out there taking bows.
Well, I have to go. Will you tell him how much I enjoyed working on the show?
I certainly will.
Bye.
Bye. Boss is sure hiring young riders lately. Well, I better put some of this stuff away. Hello, boss.
Hello, Rochester.
Let me hang up your coat.
Thanks. You sent for a masseur like I asked you to?
Yeah, he's on his way over.
Boy, I could sure use a massage. You know, these television shows are hard work.
Yeah, it's tough on both of us.
What do you mean, both of us?
Boss, you only tell the jokes. I have to sit out there and laugh at them.
Well, that's the least you can do.
Hello, Mr. Wilson.
Hello, Rochester. Am I interrupting anything?
No, come on in, Don. By the way, how did you like the show?
I thought it was very good. And, Jack, your performance was excellent.
Well, thanks. How'd you like the orchestra?
Well, the brass section was a little flat. Trombones and saxophones were playing two different tunes at the same time. The rhythm section was a little offbeat.
Yeah, I thought they were better than usual, too. Well, Don, there's one thing that worries me about that orchestra. You take Remley. His guitar playing is getting worse every week.
Well, Jack, it's really not Frankie's fault. About 3 weeks ago, he burned his hand trying to save a friend.
No kidding.
Yeah. Imagine him trying to pull someone off the electric chair.
That's Frankie for you. Always doing things for his friend. Men.
Mr. Benny, there's a lady waiting outside. She says she's a fan of yours and she'd like very much to have your autograph.
Oh, well, send her right in.
This way, madam.
Mr. Benny?
Yes, yes.
I hope I'm not putting you to any trouble, but I would so appreciate your signing this for me.
Oh, you'd like my autograph. Well, certainly, I'll be very, very happy to.
To Helene.
To Helene. All righty.
You know, I'm from Waukegan, too. I lived there all my life.
Really?
Wait till I show this to the folks back home. They're all so proud of you in Waukegan.
Well, I know practically everyone in Waukegan, yet I don't seem to remember you.
Well, now, you were a little before my time.
Well, here's my offer.
Thank you.
By the way, did you see our show?
Yes, I was in the audience. I enjoyed it so much. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. You know, Don, I was thinking before she came in, after they said...
My pen, please.
Your pen?
You put it in your pocket.
Oh, yes. Terribly sorry.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye. For an old lady, she's got eyes like a hawk. Well, I was keeping my masseur.
Oh, you getting a massage, Jack?
Yeah, they're very good for you. You ought to get one, Don.
I had one 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it'll make you feel good?
I don't know. He hasn't finished yet.
Well, that I can understand. You know, Don, if you'd lose a little weight, it certainly wouldn't hurt. Come in.
How do you do?
Are you the masseur?
No, I'm just carrying this folding table in case I run into three people who want to play bridge.
All right. You need any help?
No, you just take off your robe.
Okay. Here you are, Don. Hold this one.
Sure.
There we are.
There we are. And now we can... Say... Have you ever been in Tarzan Pictures?
Tarzan Pictures? No.
Oh, that's right. It was Maureen O'Sullivan. You just get on the table. No, I don't want you to lie down yet. I want to work on your neck.
Just sit down over here.
Sit next to you at a tennis match.
Now,
lie down on the table.
Like this?
Yeah, that's fine. Now, would you just hold this leg so that he can't move it?
This one?
Yeah.
Like this?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Ouch! My leg doesn't go that way.
It does now.
I just got nice rub down, that's all.
Well, all right, don't get excited. I'll get the oil.
There. Now, that feels better.
Say, hey, you must be a good swimmer.
What?
Well, according to my anatomy book, you've got the backbone of a halibut.
Halibut?
Please, you're moving your fins.
Now, turn that out! Look, just give me a rub down and stop talking.
Well, all right. Do you mind if I sing?
All right, sing.
Oh, the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas. Oh, the prairie sky is wide and high. Deep in the heart of Texas. Oh, the
Wait
stars at night
Wait
are big
Wait a minute!
Well, I got the spot out, boys.
Well, Jack, I've got to run along. Little woman's waiting for me. Oh, say, by the way, would you like to play some cards tonight?
Cards? No, I can't, Don. I have a date.
A date? Hey, who's the girl?
Yeah, boss. Who is she?
No, I can't tell.
Oh, come on, Jack, tell her.
No, I'm not talking.
Hey, you want me to twist his arm?
I'm sorry, Don, but I can't tell you who it is.
Okay, Jack. Have a good time. See you in a little bit, huh?
Okay. Rochester, you can go too, because I don't need you anymore.
Oh, good. I'll see you when you come home, boys.
Okay. Well, now that they're gone, maybe I can call up my date. Would you mind handing me that phone?
Yeah. Here. Thanks.
Say, Gertrude.
What is it, Mabel?
Your switchboard is flashing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mr. Benny. Yeah, I remember we got a date in 20 minutes. You taking me to a French restaurant? Well, Ceci Bone and Chateau Maibriand. Yeah, I'll be ready as soon as possible.
Well, so Mr. Benny's taking you to a French restaurant.
Yeah. He must be in a romantic mood.
Yeah, either that or he's found another place that gives green stamps.
Two more books and I get my teeth fixed.
And you're in such a rush to have a date with Mr. Benny. I'll be glad to take him.
Oh, well, thanks. You're a living doll.
In a hold still, I'm almost through.
Well, it's about time.
What's the matter?
That oil you're rubbing on me smells rancid.
Well, don't blame me. Blame the butcher.
The butcher?
Yes, I use chicken fat. Well, what did you expect for $3 an hour? My sin?
What? First, you twist my neck around. Then you nearly break my leg. And then you rub chicken fat all over my body. Here. Here's your money. Here's $3. Now go.
You know, Tip?
Get out of here!
Wise guy. I'll get even with him. I'll tell everyone he's got cold hands. It was nice of you to take your own car, Gertrude. Sure rides smooth.
Yeah, I'm crazy about it. The only trouble with it is the car payments. $50 a month is murder.
So you'll cut it to 45 and extend the loan. I'm not tough to do business with. Hey, it's a beautiful night.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fun riding, or just the two of us. Say, Gertrude. You mind if I put my head on your shoulder?
No, go ahead.
Oh, gee. What a night.
Yeah. Say,
Did you notice a little bump a minute ago?
No.
Neither did I, but it smells like we ran over a chicken.
Everybody goes there. This is different. You know, Gertrude, I wished I owned this place. They got a gold mine down here.
I figured it was some kind of a mine.
Welcome to Musty Michel.
Bonjour, Michel.
Oh, bonjour, Monsieur Benny. Entrez. Follow me.
Oh, Michel.
Oui, Michel.
You know, this place has always been so nice and quiet. I mean, why is it so crowded tonight?
Tonight is a special occasion. It's the reunion of the Société de la Goutte Trouvaillère du Paris.
What society is that?
The sewer workers of Paris.
Boy, did they pick the right place. Watch it, you big lug.
Did you say that?
No, she did. One more word out of him, I'd have let him have it.
You want me to call him back?
This way, Mr. Benny. Come on, hurry up. Pardon. 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 Pardon.
Excusez moi.
Here we are, Mr. Benny, and that's table for two.
Yeah, this? You expect to sit at this small table?
But, Mr. Benny, this society...
I don't care about the society. Look, I've been a customer here for a long time, and I expect a little comfort.
Yeah, who could eat at a tiny table like this? I'd hardly be able to order anything.
Why, certainly. I mean, in this small space, I mean, how much could she... Sit down, girl.
But if Mademoiselle is unhappy, perhaps I could...
Michel, this is fine.
While you are deciding about dinner, perhaps I could suggest to drink some champagne or some sparkling burgundy.
Gee, I don't know. Gertrude, what would you like?
I'd like two fingers of bourbon and a glass of sauerkraut juice.
That sounds good. I'll have the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Le Courtois Sportsman.
On se rappelle toujours son premier maîtresse. J'ai gardé le mien un souvenir plein d'ivresse. Un jour qu'il en va plus, tu verras, on s'est déplu. En se répand, c'est plus de plus en plus.
Elle avait de tout petits pétons.
Valentina, Valentina.
Elle avait de tout petits pétons.
Que je gardais un tonton. Tonton, tonton, elle avait un tout petit menton. Valentina, Valentina.
Outre ses petits pétons, ses petits tétons,
son petit menton. Elle était frisée comme un menton. Elle était frisée comme un menton.
Mmh.
converted, the food is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put away that Boy Scout knife and use the one they gave you.
I was just wondering, maybe, you know how many times we've wanted to get together? And I've never... And so you see, if I didn't love you, you know I'm... You know, Gertrude? Gertrude, you know that I would. If I didn't... I didn't mean to... You know how I feel about you, and gee, well, we had so much fun.
Pass me that chicken.
I just never got the chance to tell you just how I felt. You know, as long as we're together, we might as well be together. Look. I just never got the chance to tell you just how... Believe me, every time we've been... You've always been the nicest person.
Gertrude,
listen to me, please. All I want to do is look at Gertrude.
I took me out. I quit.
Embarrassing. No, Gertrude, as many times I've been coming here, this is the first time that's ever happened to me.
You made a spectacle of yourself.
I am sure they will not mind. Come with me, please. I regret to impose, but as you see, we are not prepared to accommodate such a large crowd. So if you do not mind, Monsieur Pierrot would like to sit at your table.
Well, look, we're so crowded.
Bonsoir, monsieur.
Bonsoir.
Je compliment, monsieur. Il a une bien belle jeune fille.
What'd he say?
He says you are to be complimented on having such a beautiful young companion.
Oh.
Mais elle est belle. Mais elle est en bombe de lilas et de rose.
What'd he say then?
He says not only is she beautiful, but she has the fragrance of lilacs and roses.
Well.
Il sent la graisse de poulet.
What'd he say?
He says, you smell like chicken fat.
Now wait. I came here with my girl to have a nice quiet dinner all by ourselves. And if we can't have any privacy, we're going home.
But let me think. But of course, the booth behind the curtain. Come with me, please.
Now you're talking. Come on, Gertrude.
I will open the curtains for you.
You sit down. He'll be off the table in a minute.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Michelle, give me my green stamps. We're going home.
Oh, Michelle, I'm so sorry about last night. Mr. Benny causing all that trouble and then leaving without paying his bill.
Oh, don't worry about that. That has been taken care of. You have a dance and I will find a table for you in a moment.
Merci.
Gertrude.
very sorry, Monsieur Benny is busy at the moment. But he asked me to say goodnight for him.